सो वर्स नंबर 30, यो माम पश्यति सर्वत्र सर्वं च मयि पश्यति तस्याहं न प्रणश्यामि स च मे न प्रणश्यति. टुगेदर यो मां पश्यति सर्वत्र सर्वं च मयि पश्यति तस्याहं न प्रणश्यामि स च मे न प्रणश्यति. सो व्हेन भगवान श्री कृष्णा इन द गीता ही यूजेस द वर्ड आई, व्हेन ही यूजेस द वर्ड आई ही इज नॉट टॉकिंग अबाउट द सन ऑफ देवकी एंड वासुदेव, द वन विद द peacock feather, the beloved of Radha. He's talking about I, that supreme consciousness, because Bhagavan Sri Krishna was a manifestation of the supreme consciousness. That's what we believe. So when he's talking about I, he's talking about the total consciousness, not only the Sri Krishna in this visible form, but the total consciousness. So when he says yaha mam pashyati sarva, yaha is a pronoun in Sanskrit, which means whoever that person may be, whoever it may be, male or female, young or old, short or tall, black or white, whoever that individual, child, grown up, whoever that individual is, mam pashyati, me, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, one who sees me sarvatra, who sees God everywhere. So when he says me, what he means? God. So he says, one who sees God everywhere, and sarvam cha mai pashyati, and sees all sarvam cha mai in me, pashyati seeds. So one who sees me everywhere and sees everything is me in me, that means one who sees God everywhere and sees everything in God, right? That's why they say, na, God is within and without. Antar bahishcha tat sarvam vyapta narayana tishthati. So the Lord is within as life and Lord is outside. They say, where is God? Wise person will say, where is God not? Where is he not? Show me a place where he's not. He's everywhere. He's there in space between us. He's there in the chair. He's there in the mic. He's there in the trees, in the air, in even trillions of miles away in space. He even goes beyond that, further than that. So God is everywhere. So yo mam pashyati sarvam cha mai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami. For him I'm never lost. I'm never separated from him. Sacha mena pranashyati. I never lose him and he never loses me. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says that if you want me to be with you, I am with you at all times. But just see me everywhere. See me in all beings and see me within. And that's all you need to do. God is there everywhere. Our problem is we don't see him or her. God can be Mother Saraswati, can be Mother Durga. So male or female, God is not only male or female. That's why we say God is consciousness or Brahman, which is neuter. So to see the whole world in God and God in the whole world is easier for us. So what Bhagavan is saying, that God within you is also the God outside. There are no two separate gods. It's not that there is a God within and there is a God outside. So you see them both as one. And what is God? So they say he is Desh, Kala, Vastu. That means Desha means in all places he is there. He is everywhere, even in heaven, even in hell, even in the furthest of space, even he goes beyond that. Kala means time. That means he is there in the past. He was always there. They say, when did God start? Always. There was never a time when God was created. Because if God was created, then who created God? So we say he is self-created, always was, and is here now, and will always be in the future. No, even when the universe ends and the new universe is created, the Big Bang again happens, God will always be there. And Vastu. Vastu means in all objects. All objects, whether living or non-living, always God is there. But why don't we see God? We say it is a superimposition, just as there is a brown clay, right? Brown lump of clay. And what the pot maker does, he makes it into a pot, which was a lump of clay, now a beautiful pot. Then he colors it blue and gold and makes it, you know, hard in that, with that, bakes it in the oven. And now that brown piece of clay looks like a beautiful blue vase, you know, with gold and flowers, and you can't recognize. But it is that same clay, but now has a name and form. It is called pot, with the blue color, that brown. Then you can call it a plate or a saucer or a, you know, or a vase. These are all names and forms. And you don't see the original clay. You see the names and forms which are projected. So in all of us, that same Brahman is there, but superimposed are this name and form, that I am Anil, or my name is Vivek, or my name is Tony, and I am a male or a female, or I am a young or an old. These are all descriptions of the BMI. But the Atma, is the consciousness, is the same. The body is different, the emotions are different, ideas are different. And how does God create the world? So they say to create anything, need an efficient cause, instrumental cause, and a material cause. Just to come back to the pot maker, now the pot maker knows how to make the pot. You and I don't. This I'm talking about before factories, you know, where they used to have that rotating wheel and the pot maker used to make the pot. So he's the efficient cause because he knows how to make a pot. You and I don't. And what is the instrument? The instrument is the wheel on which he rotates. And what is the material cause? Is clay, right? So the efficient cause is the pot maker. The instrument cause is the wheel. And the material cause is the clay. In the case of Bhagwan, in the case of Brahman, who is the efficient cause? Who is the one who had the knowledge to create? He did, right? Or that consciousness, that Brahman, God, he had this knowledge. So he is the efficient cause. Is there any other instrument? No, he himself used himself to create. So he became the instrumental cause. Now, where did he get the material? It's not that there was some air, space, fire, water, earth lying around somewhere and he went and brought it. If he went and brought it, then who created that air, space, fire, water, earth? He himself. He himself became air, space, fire, water, earth. So he became the material cause. So all three are him. He's the efficient cause. He's the instrumental cause. He's the material cause. So everything is that. And that is the understanding that we get. And this world is an abhas. It is an appearance. But if you look deep within, there is only one. That's why Vedanta is called Advaita. That means no two. There are no two. There is only one Brahman appearing as all of us. So even though I think I am separate from him and him and her, but actually there is only oneness. And in that case, God can never be separate from me, right? If God says tomorrow, I don't want to be with you, he can't because he's everywhere. And tomorrow if I say, God, it's okay, don't just go away now, let me do my... I can't because... So neither I can separate from God nor God can separate from me. Tasya hamna pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. He never separates from me and I never separate from him. So that understanding that God is with us 24 hours, 365 days, day in, day out, from and constantly functioning. It is his energy that is why I am at this moment able to speak. And that is why you all are able to listen. So the Bhagavat bhakti should be there. Bhagavat is understanding. It's like you go to a museum, right? And there is a statue of God, you know, Nataraja. But they say, you know, oh, this is a 12th century statue. It is a 13th century statue. Or there is an old, very old statue of Mother Mary or Jesus. You say, ah, this is 7th century, you know, and this is all that. Now it's in a museum. You don't say this is God, right? You say this is a statue in a museum. But the same statue, if you take it into a temple and you do that pran pratishtha and you establish it in the temple or in the church and you start praying to it, then that same statue becomes God. But there, once you see the statue in the temple, you don't ask when was this made. Is this 12th century or 13th century or 8th century? No. Once it is, this Bhagavat Drishti is there, that this is God. So the point is that that understanding should be there in both situations. Whether the statue was in the museum or is in the temple, there is only one God. But you and I, we have lost connection with God. The saints have not. The lost connection is like you're talking to somebody on the cell phone and then suddenly you lose the call, right? Drop the call. You say, oh, I lost the connection. You say, sorry, I lost my cell service. I'm no longer, you know, I'm out of range or whatever. Or like I'm talking to you and some of you are listening and somebody else is thinking, you know, I wonder what is for lunch or, you know, after this class, where am I going to go? So I've lost connection with you, even though you are sitting here listening, but your mind is thinking somewhere else. So lost connection means you are still here, but you are no longer listening or paying attention. Or like a father says, I've lost connection with my son. Son is still in the same house, but he can't talk. You know, this is what happens when they become teenagers. They think they know everything and dad knows nothing. And sometimes there is so much problem and they go into marijuana and drugs and all. And then they don't listen to anybody. So father said, I've lost connection with my son. Even though he's seeing him every day, that connection is lost. So similarly, even though God is with us every time, we have lost connection. All we have to do is connect our cell phone to him. You know, just get that Wi-Fi service. And he's always available. His Wi-Fi is always available. All we have to do is put in the password. And what is the password? Chant the name of the Lord, read the Bhagavad Gita, and you will connect with him. So that is the password. That's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna is giving us, the password to his Wi-Fi. He says, read the Bhagavad Gita, worship me, remember me, love me, and I am always there for you. And so the knowledge is aparoksh. It is not paroksh means somebody else's eyes. So like this book has been written by Swami Chinmayanandaji. If you don't have it, everybody, I would request you to buy this one or the red one from the office because it has the word by word meaning. So right now, the knowledge we have is Swami Chinmayanandaji's knowledge, what I'm trying to give you, and I try to get some other ideas. But when I understand it is my knowledge, that is called aparoksha gyan. Right now, it is Bhagavan Sri Krishna's knowledge or Swami Chinmayananda's knowledge or Ved Vyasji's knowledge. But when it becomes my knowledge, that is called enlightenment, that is called realization. And does God have form or formless? You know, there is always an argument. They say, well, how about Sri Krishna, you know, playing the flute, or Ramchandraji with his bow and arrow, or Vishnu in Bhagavan in the Shiv Sagar, you know, he's lying there, or how about Jesus, or how about, you know, all those forms. So we say forms are good. Forms are meant for me to love, because it is hard to love a formless God. So you pick a form. Maybe it's Shiva, maybe it's Mother Saraswati. Whatever form is the dearest to you, you love it, but then don't say that God is only in this form. See, that is where the problem comes. When they say this alone is God and everybody else who does not believe in this God should be killed, and that is fanaticism. That is the breed of fanaticism, that any, whoever does not worship my God deserves to be killed. No, I worship my God, you worship your God. God is one, but there are different forms, different names. And see the oneness. And yes, I love a particular form. Nothing wrong with that. And you love that form. But in that form, you see formlessness. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna should lead me to that formless Brahman. I should not only limit it. Okay, itna hi hai. It's only this form, only in this temple, only this shape. No. God is everywhere, but I see him in this form. So that is the difference. So they say form should lead you to the formless. Because if he's in everything, if he's in the chair, if he's in this, if he's in, he has to be formless. But God cannot be with form. It is formless, but takes particular forms for us to love. And so that I have to understand. And God is formless, but takes a particular form that I love. And that's why we have all these forms here. We have Sri Krishna, we have Ganpati here, we have Mother Saraswati, to show us that there is all multiple forms. And what are the four type of devotees? I will just briefly talk about it. I don't know if everybody can see. It's written in the bottom. But Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, four type of devotees come to me. And how should we approach God? So they say, Arti, Artharthi, Jigyasu, Jignyasu, and Jnani. So Arti means one who is suffering. Arti does not mean the Arti we do. But Arti in Sanskrit means the one who is suffering. So I'm suffering. I'm sick. Oh God, give me in health or make my son well. My son is not well. Or my parents are sick. So when you go, or I'm unhappy. You know, my husband is not right, or my wife is not right, or my relationships are having problems. So whenever there is suffering, you go to God and say, please relieve my suffering. So that is one. Second is Artharthi, where you go to pray for what? Give me more money, God. Give me more power. I know this job I want. Oh, please, God, give me this job. If you give me this job, I'll come and give $100 in your temple. The job pays $100,000, right? So he says, for $100,000 job, I'll give you $100 next week. You know, that's how we bargain with God. So that is called Artharthi, where you're going to God, you're not going to God for God, but using God to get something else. So God becomes the instrument and the goal is higher. Like I use a rope to pull what I want, right? So the rope is the instrument and something I'm pulling is what I want. Like something is thrown in the river, you put a rope and you pull it. The rope you don't want. Rope is meant to get that. So Bhagavan we don't need. Bhagavan we need to get something else. That is the second quality. And the third is Jignyasu. Jignyasu are the philosophers and the professors and the PhDs who study Upanishads. They know Bhagavad Gita. They can chant. They know Sanskrit. But they are not doing it to reach God. They are doing it to get a PhD. Okay, I got a PhD. I became a professor of Sanskrit. Now I teach others and they can chant and all that. They know all the Upanishads, Brahma Sutras, but not to reach God, but to get to curiosity, to learn. But he says the fourth one who is Jnani, who comes to me for me. He does not go to Bhagwan asking for any relief from suffering, any wealth. He does not even go for knowledge, curiosity. He goes to Bhagavan because I want you. I do not want to use you to get some. So Bhagavan says all three are good. Nothing wrong. You know, you come to me for asking for relief from suffering, for, you know, progress, for knowledge. That's good. But the one who is the most dear to me, Jnani Atmaiva Me Mataha. The Jnani is my own self because he wants me for my sake. He does not want, it's like, a girl loves a boy and she loves him for his sake. Another one, you know, says, oh, this guy has a lot of money. You know, if I marry him, then I'll become a millionaire. So then her love is not unconditional. Her love is conditional. And the moment the guy doesn't have money, she'll leave him. You know, tomorrow his money is gone. He loses in the stock market. She will leave. So similarly, our love for God should be unconditional love. Not that if I get it, I love you. If I don't, I won't love you. So that is what the essence of this verse is, that one who sees me everywhere, I am never separated from him. So Tvam and Tat. So that me and that God. Now the third one is how me and that God can be together.